The Lord be with you. Now, throughout its history, the church has been consistently criticized. The Romans called Christians atheists because they didn't believe in all their gods. And today's secular society mocks believers because they still believe in God, albeit only one God. But perhaps one of the most enduring criticisms is the accusation of hypocrisy. On their album Jesus Freak from 1995, the Christian band DC Talk have a song called What If I Stumble? It's an autobiographical expression of anxiety about letting God down by seeking fame and fortune instead of his glory and honour. The song opens with a crackly recording of a man speaking, and the words were those of a Catholic priest called Brennan Manning. He said, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." Now, whether you agree that it is the greatest cause of atheism or not, it is certainly thought-provoking, isn't it? It is not a good witness for Christians to sing about their forgiveness, but to hold grudges against others. To profess their love for God whilst refusing to love their neighbours. Or to declare in church services that they believe in Christ and will follow all his teaching, but to live from Monday to Saturday with little interest in him. One Christian writer acknowledged that on Sundays he felt strong. It was on the weekdays that he needed additional help. The Bible is extremely honest about this very human tendency to say one thing and do another, to profess a truth and live a lie. The Old and New Testament alike draw attention to hypocrisy and call us to be consistent, to live lives of integrity. And in our passage from Galatians today, we read about the Apostle Paul confronting the Apostle Peter about his alarming hypocrisy. It's likely that Paul mentions this story because his critics had brought news of Paul's disagreement with Peter to the churches in Galatia. News designed to support their claim that Paul was not on message. It seems, verse 11, that Peter came to where Paul was in Antioch, and whilst there he was happy to eat with the Gentiles. Verse 12. And we should note that this is a massive thing for the Jews. Table fellowship between Jews and Gentiles was forbidden under Jewish custom. So for Peter the Jew to be eating with Gentiles is big news, indicating that the barriers that had once been between them have no further relevance now they are united in Christ Jesus. But then something happens. Paul tells us, verse 12, that certain men came from James. Now, James was the brother of Jesus and one of the other important leaders of the Christian fellowship in Jerusalem. It's not clear whether James sent the men or whether they merely came from the Jerusalem church, but their arrival had an immediate impact on Peter. He withdrew from table fellowship with the Gentiles. Paul actually says Peter was afraid of a particular faction within the church, the circumcision group. It's reasonable to assume that the visitors were from that group. In fact, it's likely that this visit is the same incident which Luke records in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, where he writes, "Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved.'" Peter was afraid of these people who were teaching this different gospel, which you will remember from previous weeks, is no gospel at all. And his actions had a profound impact on others in the church in Antioch. As he, in his fear, withdrew from the Gentiles, so other Jewish Christians, taking their lead from him, also withdrew. As more and more people followed suit, even Paul's closest friend and ally, Barnabas, was eventually taken in. Now, I'm sure you'll have experienced the dynamics at play. It's like Danny Zuko from the musical Grease not wanting to admit to his mates that he's actually in love with the nice girl, Sandy. It's like Gretchen Wieners from the film Mean Girls, so desperate to please Queen Bee Regina George. When someone we admire behaves a particular way, we quickly fall in line, even against our better judgment sometimes. What's more, we're also quick to fall into step with what seems to be the majority view. Scientific tests have shown that we human beings are worryingly easily swayed by the crowd, even when we're confident that the crowd is wrong. Now, there's a lesson in that for us as we review the news about the overturning of Roe v. Wade in the United States, or as we wonder how best to support those who suffer from varying degrees of gender dysphoria. And of course, there's obviously a lesson for us in the church about dealing with abusive leaders. We may shake our heads in disbelief that Bishop Peter Ball, John Smythe, the Reverend Jonathan Fletcher, and others got away with their wicked behaviour for so long. But the truth is that they were aided and abetted by others who, out of misplaced loyalty, chose not to speak up. Now, all of us have a duty in safeguarding to speak up for the protection of the vulnerable, to report abusive behaviour so that victims can be rescued and spared. How much more do we have a responsibility to speak up when we know the gospel is being twisted and therefore that people are being led astray? Thank God then that Paul spoke up. He called Peter out on his hypocrisy, and he did it publicly, so as to challenge all of those present to get back to living in line with the faith they professed. Luke records in Acts chapter 15, verse 2, that the visit of the circumcision group to Antioch brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. It can't have been easy for either Peter or Paul. But helpfully, and in the providence of God, Paul has preserved for us the details of his argument in his letter. Just look briefly at it today. Once he'd highlighted Peter's evident hypocrisy, Paul reminded his listeners, verse 16, that we are justified, that is, we are made right with God by faith in Christ Jesus. Whoever we are, whether Jew or Gentile, our hope is in Christ alone, because he says, by the works of the law, no one will be justified. It's worth noting how important that fact is to Paul. He repeats it three times in one sentence. No one will be justified by the works of the law, by which he means God's good law given through Moses to the people of Israel. Now, this is critical for us to grasp today, just as it was critical for the churches in Galatia. So many people think that it's by keeping some version of God's law that we make ourselves right with him, that he'll accept us if we abide by certain rules. Paul is arguing about the application of the whole law of God, including food laws and circumcision. In the last century, the popular assumption was probably that a person had to keep the Ten Commandments to be right with God. More recently, and since fewer people actually know any of the Ten Commandments other than the ones about murder and adultery, people assume that the basic criteria for being right with God is that we keep God's law of love, that is, that we are loving towards other people. Paul says no. No one will be justified by the works of the law. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. And he tells us what that looks like and how it works. He says, verse 20, that he has been crucified with Christ. He means that as he put his faith in Christ, then he was united with Christ in a way which affects everything. So when Christ was crucified, that was the end of his old life. His old life was nailed to the cross with Christ and died with him. Now that Christ has been raised, Christ's new life is in him. And it's the same for all of us who've trusted in Christ. The old has gone, with all its futile striving. And the new has come with all its glorious freedom. Just as a person doesn't go back to the doctor for more medicine once the disease is cured, Christians are free from the law because Christ has set us free. So brothers and sisters, let's not be hypocrites living in a manner which is at odds with the faith we profess. Rather, let's rejoice in the freedom we have because of what Christ has done, and boldly and gladly bring the good news of his love to our neighbours and friends. We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Let us live this truth in all integrity. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's boldness in speaking, in confronting Peter and the others, in drawing their minds back to the glorious gospel of Christ, in whom we find our life, our hope, our joy, and our freedom. Please help us not to be hypocrites, but to live that freedom that we have been given, and to bring that joy and that life and that hope to others. We ask it in his name. Amen.